Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, Challenge fans? We are back here for another episode of The Challenge, episode 12, Pictures of You. We got everybody in the house ready to rock and roll, and we're going to keep the movement moving by starting the evening with news. We're going to throw it over to Benny and then over to Jenna after Benny. Here we go, guys.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff still going on in the challenge world with the Black Lives Matter movement. If you guys weren't able to see my interview with Marlon Williams, you know him from The Challenge, X on the Beach, The Real World Portland. He came on. He had a lot of interesting things to say. He talked about Dee, which I'm sure you all know. She is no longer part of The Challenge anymore, and they've edited all of her screen time out, or the majority of her screen time. He talked about Corey and Taylor, and it was just a very interesting interview, and if you haven't seen it yet, you definitely should see it. It's on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, so definitely check it out. Also, tomorrow, make sure you check out my interview with Nehemiah. We're going to be talking about the same things, and if you guys didn't know, Nehemiah was Dee's roommate not too long ago for a couple of months, so definitely want to hear what he has to say about that conversation. But that interview is happening tomorrow at 12 p.m. Pacific time. Tune in, and you're not going to want to miss it.
Yeah, Benny, great job. You're killing it, holding it down with all these amazing interviews. You guys did a great job. Oh, you and Marlon had a great conversation, very enlightening, profound, well-spoken. I really enjoyed it. You guys did a great job. And Marlon was an awesome guest too. Yeah. So we'll look out for that tomorrow. So I wanted to bring up a point, and one of our listeners DM'd me last week and brought this to my attention. It's a really interesting information about why people may not be getting banned for doing things that are racist or possibly sexist in any form of evil on the show. So this listener, and I like to shout him out, but I wasn't able to get in touch with them in time to see if they wanted their Twitter handle to be said. So we'll leave them anonymous tonight, but thank you for this info. So they had attended a Challenge Mania live show in the past, and Derek and Scott, the situation between Camilla and Leroy got brought up. So Derek and Scott said that there was actually a contractual law within the MTV contracts where saying offensive things while in character on the show will never get anybody kicked off, will never get anybody fired or banned. By law, they could be playing a character when they have gone too far, and that's allowed in their contract. So you can't be banned for something you've done while it's on TV, while the cameras are rolling, while you're being filmed. So that's why Dee's kind of initial knee-jerk reaction and instinct was to sue MTV, because her mind, she believes that she's saying within her contractual guidelines that she's playing a character. She's not being herself, but it's outside of the rules of being on TV while the cameras are rolling. So
I got that.
She did
it.
Yeah. Oh, you did.
I don't know if it's from the same person, but I got a DM as well about that. We all got that.
Really, really interesting and enlightening.
I gotta check my DMs more.
You're all special. That's what it means. But that is really enlightening, because we've seen people on camera doing things that clearly to all of us are more or less offensive than what Dee did or whatever. So that explains a lot about that. Yeah, that's a great little piece of knowledge, and it explains Dee and Taylor, you know, the social media backlash.
So
go ahead, Benny.
So what you're telling me is, in their contract, if they can say some racist, crazy stuff and they won't get fired for it if it's on the show.
That sounds like a cop-out to me. No pun intended, but it sounds like a cop-out.
That's insane.
So, I'm sure word-by-word terminology doesn't allow, it probably isn't condoning racist, sexist, any sort of that behavior by language, but you're right, exactly. So if you're making up for ugly behavior by just saying it's allowed because you're playing a character is, one, gross, and two, also, this does make a lot of sense, like you're saying, Pam. I was like, wow, that's interesting. It does make a lot of sense, but it's really disappointing as well, because I mean, we know it's a reality TV show. We know it's edited. We know it's manipulated. You know that people play things up for the cameras and that they're being different versions of themselves. Mm-hmm. Sure. At the same time, the reason we want to watch shows like this, the reason we're drawn to it, is because there's a sense of realism. And you do like to think that these people are really them and that they're being real at the end of the day, whatever version of real that is. But to see that people are really, you know, using that token excuse of like, well, I'm playing a character, shows that like, okay, so no one's really being authentic. You know, they're still, it's like, you're literally trying to act then. It's not even just being on a reality TV show. You're actually trying to be almost like an actor or play it with different characters. So it's really disappointing to see where they have that ability to really just be something they're not when we want to watch them for reality TV.
And exactly. where do we draw the line, if we draw the line at some point, saying basically it's okay to do anything? So with the message, especially with what's going on now, with the movement and everything, I mean, where do we draw that line, though? And are we justifying that you're playing a character, it's okay to put that on TV?
Two things, I think, on that. One is that a character, it seems like an exaggerated version of yourself, so anyone choosing to have a racist or misogynistic character, I have to believe that comes from somewhere, because we don't see a lot of people doing that, so still uncool. But two, it sounds extraordinarily dated, like when they were first doing The Real World and, you know, they needed conflict in the house and was trying to be like, what do people of different backgrounds think? And they sort of wanted to encourage that from the onset, but it seems like something that is extraordinarily dated.
And that's what brings me to my point, Pam, is MTV needs to fix that now and go against what you made up 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you have to go to court against some of these people and lose money or whatever it is because you have to fire people, MTV, you got your money bags anyways. But first of all, let's do it for the real reason, which is to, you know, support the movement, which is what you say you're supposedly doing.
Mm-hmm.
What's that, Benny?
What Marlon said was, when I was talking
bad
to
timing.
Him, he was like, even if they fire all these people, it's still not going to mean anything to the public because other networks have already done it already. And so it's going to look like MTV is just doing this because other networks are doing it and they feel pressured to do it. And so he said what MTV should do is release a statement, be completely honest and say, hey, we messed up. We know where we went wrong and we're trying to fix the problem. Give us some time and we will get on the right page. And mm-hmm. that's what should happen.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Did Marlon say he wanted everyone fired? I forget. Because he said just not to fire everyone, right? Or what did he
said that it wouldn't be fair of him to say to fire everyone. He said there should be that small, little, really tiny, little thing of forgiveness, you know, because an example he said is, you know, what if a black person said something that they shouldn't have said, you know? So, and during this whole movement, that should they get kicked off as well? So it just depends on the nature of what was said. For example, Taylor's example, you know, pure racism right there. The guy from Siesta Key, I don't know if you guys saw that.
No,
I saw that. Oh my, the worst.
That was like the worst one I've seen.
Can you guys fill us in? I mean, without being, what was the deal with that? I know that MTV did their severed ties with him, but
he like responded to some pictures of Black people using the N-word with the hard R and other profane words that were discriminatory towards Black people. It wasn't good. So they got rid of him. Like, they're done with him, which good for them for doing that. But yeah,
I want to say I cannot believe he went on social media and said that, but I'm almost like glad he did, because then it exposes him, you know?
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't just be commenting on social media, no matter how you say it or act racist, that needs to be punished. But what an idiot for doing it on social media. But I'm almost glad it was, because good, now we know, and done. You're done.
Right. You feel confident enough to throw that out there? Like, all right.
Yeah. All right. Well, no easy transition here, guys, but I want to talk about one thing from episode 10. And that is Wes getting eliminated. Lot of people jumped on. Now that we've had 2 weeks to think about this, a lot of people have jumped onto social media, half saying he should have gone in, half said he should not have gone in. And I want to get all of our opinions on that for sure. I think he should have gone in. He was in the tribunal. He got to see what the layout was for that challenge. Decide, okay, maybe I have a good chance against Bananas versus trying to go in next week. He'd have to win another daily challenge, which is tough to do, or get the house vote and then not know what you're stepping into. So that's my opinion, and let's explore the West versus Bananas for sure.
Yeah, I agree. He should have went in, because you know it's like you said, Dan. It's the same thing. You're gonna win or you're gonna lose. So you might as well just rip the Band-Aid off. It's gonna be a 50-50 chance, and unfortunately, it didn't work out for him. But at least he went out during an epic elimination against his biggest rival. So he got to take away that, you know, people are always going to remember that elimination.
I'm a wuss, and I would have, if I were Wes, I'm glad that it was great. It was a great episode, but I don't think he should have done it, because the stakes were so high either way. It would have been great if he won, but it just sucks so hard. And I would like him to have stuck around more. And I feel like even if there was only a few eliminations, Wes is good in a purge. He's won a lot of eliminations as a team. Of course, you never know, but it was a big risk. I think Bananas was more of a jerk for nominating himself when it was sort of, I thought that was Wes's opportunity to go in. And since they were working together, it was more Bananas. It's like, yeah, I know it's short time, but I won this time. Like, let it be me if you don't want to go against me. I wouldn't have gone if I was Wes.
Well, that's my conspiracy though against Bananas there. It's like, did producers just hop in his ear and say, hey, look, Wes just won. He might put himself in. Why don't you nominate yourself in the house vote and we can finally get a Wes versus Bananas after 18 years.
Right. It seems so convenient and perfect that they just happen to be in that position, right? Especially being friends this season, the biggest rivals.
I know. Guys, I'm telling you, we're figuring out these producers. Watch out, right?
Definitely. Yeah, that one went over my head, though. I wasn't being conspiracy theorist about it. I was just taking it for what it was on TV. I didn't even think about them being whispered to do that. But with that being said, I was on the same page as you, Pam, where I felt like Wes should have nominated himself in, because he was one who worked for winning that daily challenge. He actually won it when Bananas threw it within like 10 seconds. So it was kind of Bananas now taking advantage of the alliance that they've had and now trying to put his opportunity first, which again, it's always an individual game. At the end of it all, you're fighting for yourself. But for Wes to actually have this opportunity, if I was Wes, I would take it as a slight from Bananas.
Oh, totally.
And it's like, okay, well, I see what you're doing. Great. I'm going to do it right back then. I'm not going to lesser my opportunity, which it was mine to have this week. This was my chance. And now you're trying to take that from me and you're trying to guilt me into not doing that because we're working together, but it's not quite going hand in hand from your page. So yeah, I was glad that he voted himself in.
Yes. Agree.
But I do, unpopular opinion, I didn't think that the elimination was epic. But I thought the game, it seemed a little bit like, yes, you had to be quick and efficient and speed was a factor, but I also think it was like a little bit of a game of luck.
Yeah, it was like tonight.
So you have to like find things. And yeah, needle in a haystack. It's not really like the best, that was the best we could have done between them.
It was anybody's game. Like, it came down, a lot of it came down to luck. I agree with
and
you.
And the producers knew that most likely these two were going to be in the elimination together. So they could have cooked up something just ridiculously mm-hmm. epic. Just why not? Because it is the right. final we've ever seen. Make something extra ridiculous. Give me like a mid-season final just between those
right.
two.
Right.
I know. I was like,
I thought the elimination was epic because the rest of the episode was completely boring.
Maybe that's because the whole plot was cut out.
Like the best thing in this episode for this one.
I think it was it the next episode they started? I think it was an episode last week is where they started cutting though. So they didn't cut anything for 10. But now we'll get into that. Episode 11, we start noticing some cuts, which if you all want to watch the cuts, you can just go into any fan page the following day and you can watch the rest of the episode there because that's what I did. And there was one cut that I was really upset about because I think it's just so interesting. And it was Bailey versus Dee. And it's during the first challenge, and it's where you have to grab the red and white flags, okay? And Dee, who already has a red skull, is actually sabotaging Bailey by stealing all of her flags and not letting her win. Now, Bailey is super upset by this, where Dee is saying, hey, it's a fair game. I don't want you to get a red skull. I don't want to see you in a final. And I wanted to get your guys' opinion on who do you think is right and wrong there? Because Bailey's like, I need this money more than anybody. And she was like, she said, I need this money. I need it. How can you take this money from me? And Dee was like, basically, I'm playing a game and not letting you win. So for me on that side, I think all's fair, man. You got to just, why not get your opponent to not win, even though you have red skull? It's a game.
I mean, all is fair. We've seen how many players play dirty, if that's considered dirty. I mean, it is what it is.
They didn't show it, though, David, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Show any of this during the challenge. We had to go watch it the next day.
I mean, you guys already know how I feel about Dee, and she's more than put her foot in her mouth now, so I don't have a whole lot to say on that. But, I mean, it is what it is as far as the challenge goes. We've seen dirty stuff happen. It's fair.
I mean, I guess it's her... Go ahead.
Go, Jenna.
Go ahead, girl. No, you. No,
okay.
You.
I'm very quick. I think it is dirty, but take that as you will. It was definitely a dirty move. And that's, I guess, why Bailey called her Dirty D in her confessional, because I didn't quite get it. And then part two, I just thought it was interesting that in this elimination, they disqualified everyone that worked together, but in the foam elimination, teaming up and working together was fine. Like, the rules are so arbitrary.
We had some really great memes after last week's episode, and it was like the Nick Young meme where he's like doing this and it's all the question marks and TJ saying, okay, so now all of a sudden everybody's getting DQ'd for working together when people have been cheating off of each other's puzzles for like 25 years of the challenge, and that's not considered cheating. Like, there's been blatant cheating before and it's never mattered. When it comes to Dee, you see the two sides of the coin where you see some of the girls working together to help each other get a red skull, put themselves in an opportunity to win. And again, it's whatever, however you want to play the game, I guess it's up to your choice, whether you want to look out for yourself and be dirty. That's Dee's prerogative. And if we're thinking just about Dee in this episode, taking away everything that she's done outside the game that we've seen, then I guess that's her choice, but it's just interesting to see a lot of the girls working together saying, hey, I have a red skull, you need one, I'm gonna help you out, but she's doing the complete opposite. But I guess that goes into her feeding that character, right, that she wants to be.
Sure. Yeah. Benny, any thoughts on the cuts from last episode?
I didn't watch any of the cuts from last episode, but so it's kind of hard for me to say, but I'm just gonna say I'm team Bailey on this one.
Well, I mean, I think we're all Team Bailey in that regard. I'm just saying, as far as the challenge goes, I like when
that's what I meant. Yeah, as far as the challenge, from how you guys were talking about it, I'm Team Bailey.
So they also cut a scene where Rogan, this makes it even crazy, Rogan and Dee hooking up in the bathroom. And that makes it even more crazy that then Banana says that to Rogan, and then Rogan turns his back completely on Dee. The episode could have been amazing last week. I understand why they cut their things. They, you know, MTV can do whatever they want, but at the same time, I want my full. I want my storyline. I know everything that Dee did was completely wrong, but at the same time, stop cutting my storyline. I want to see everything.
Or do a better job.
I want to cut the original. I want to see the original edit. Yeah.
None of it made sense, though. I agree that they should have cut Dee. But were there any confessionals?
Remember, like, people were pissed at D, you know, and people are already pissed at MTV for like being so lackluster with everything. So I 100% understand why they did it. People don't want to. People
for
don't
sure.
want to see right now. They want.
Benny, I agree with you on that. I agree with you. I understand why they did it. I want to see the episode. I just want to see the episode. That's all.
I'm not even saying I want to see the episode. I'm saying do a better job of giving us a through line then. It just went to like, I'm going to say D. And the like, there was no
setup. They could have did a better editing job.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
The editing
I'm
job is saying, awful. And yeah, tonight's was ridiculous
tonight,
too.
They just cut her out, which is fine.
Yes.
If you're going to cut her out. But clearly there was an episode that she was the focus of that they cut all her scenes out of, which is fine. But I wish they had found a confessional to set it up or done some after something, because it was like, what? Like, it just...
Let's be real. Dee's the villain this season. You just cut the villain out of the show. I thought tonight's episode, by the way, was the worst episode of the season. I was bored the entire time.
Well, personally, there was no setup. The payoff
there was nothing.
Was Dee getting thrown into elimination, but we had no idea why.
And then, we didn't get to see Dee and Rogan. They would have. I'm sure there was a million fights between them over what Rogan did to Dee last episode, and we didn't get any of that.
Well,
which
that
obviously
again,
is good drama.
But I understand that they're cutting her out. But at least tonight they didn't make her a focus of the episode. At all.
Tonight she was erased.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's what I mean.
I actually forgot that she was on the show.
I think that was her point, Benny.
Yeah.
I think that's her point.
Which again.
But then it had an opposite effect. At first I forgot, but then when I realized, it's like all I realized, because they're interrogation room, and they're making it so zoomed in on just Bailey and Fessy that you can even see where the camera would have slightly start to zoom out to like shows Dee's hair, and then it just like cuts away.
Yeah.
And everything, even the wide shot, even like the wide bird's eye view shot from the top of the corner of the room is like just Fessy's shoulder. I guess it's lucky that Fessy is so big and broad, because he takes up so much of that table that you can't even see Dee in a lot of it. But, and then when it comes time to see that somebody actually voted for Kyle to go down there, they don't even use Dee's voice.
You hear
the
voiceover.
Even see.
Just a voiceover.
A voiceover.
Yeah. When it was Anissa versus Dee in the challenge tonight, and like Dee started coming up on Anissa, I'm like, MTV producers are probably like, oh my God, we have to keep her in. How do we? She just beat, like,
right.
You know, she came back from, it was actually a nice win for her too. She came back from behind and beat Anissa, but they don't want that. I mean,
no.
And I understand why, but it's just like, this is, I just want to see the storyline that you had originally before this fiasco happened.
Could you imagine being the editors at MTV there last minute? Like, hey, guess what, guys? We have to re-go through this footage and edit out all of this. And you
have,
like,
well, they had 2 weeks. They had 2 weeks
right.
for this one, David, to fix this. They had 2 weeks to fix this. Last week was ridiculous. And that was a focal point for Dee, too, that episode last week. She was like a main character in that one.
Crazy.
All right. We can get into the challenge of the evening, guys. Tanks a lot. Move.
Thought you were thanking us for a second.
Move stuff from one side to the other. Really heavy stuff. Like Pam said before we got started, Kyle almost loses a finger. That could have been the name of the episode. Nelson says needy greedy. He actually says it in the episode. I thought,
no.
Is he saying that for us? Is he saying it for the AfterBuzz
Just
challenge?
Just for us.
After
Just
show,
for
it's got to be. It had
for
to
the
be.
Fan.
For us. I thought it was a no think challenge, which I like. I think Kyle loves those too. You don't think, you just move stuff. You just move stuff. So, any
the
thoughts?
Easiest
guys,
ones.
Yeah,
it was cool.
I think it's easy to say that it was a no think challenge, but I think it required more thinking than maybe people realize, or maybe they should have thought more about what bigger objects you carry first or how to stack things up. I mean, I started to get a sense of that as it went, though. Like, putting things in the dumpster was a really good idea. I'm piling things up on some of those, you know, pieces of wood that were kind of a platform was really good. I liked the first team's idea. So Fessy is the strongest. So whatever Fessy can handle, we're going to take that first, because it's going to be massive weight.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty fun. there was a lot of injuries, but also Kyle's thing was like so dramatic for a half a second and then that was it. Like nothing even happened.
They had to build drama for commercials and there was no drama this episode.
There's nothing.
There really nothing, wasn't.
Dude. Melissa and Josh.
No, Melissa.
Melissa and Josh.
Melissa, yeah.
Melissa.
Oh, we're going to get, oh, I got that in nominations. Woo! For sure. We're going to get to that for sure. Oh, I wanted to get a Hansel and Gretel meme of Bananas and Rogan when they tried to roll the thing and all the stuff's falling out and they were losing Hansel and Gretel. So tomorrow, I'm sure a fan will come up with a Hansel and Gretel meme for us all to check out on Instagram, I hope. So,
I love how TJ is laughing at him, too. That's hilarious, yeah. Dude.
TJ got to ride a tank. So.
Right.
That's cool.
I'm surprised. Yeah. Jenna, I can't believe you didn't bring that up right away because you love when TJ just finds
never happens. At this point, himself. It's like, it's subliminal at this point.
Yeah,
I think he's rode up in just about anything now at this point, right? I mean, he's done what, the helicopter and jet skis, the tank, yeah. Now, like,
yeah, he's gonna need to ride a dolphin.
if they get a little stipend or bonus every time they say that it's TJ's final. I mean, I'm not against it, but when have we ever heard it being referred to as TJ's final?
TJ's right. Final.
The final. That's true. The final. The final. And this season, it's like I like wince a little bit because it feels so forced. Like never in 35 seasons have we heard it referred to as TJ's
final.
And hey, then also, I mean, clearly there's no one else coming up with this final this season except for TJ. There's no one else working behind the scenes. TJ's like, I know what we're doing.
They're all just going to be riding tanks the entire time.
Awesome. So the winners of the challenge are Fessy, Bailey, and the girl that shall not be named. They win it, and I don't know. It was cool, I guess. I don't know. The house vote. Okay, so here's the thing, I guess, next is Corey wants to go in really bad.
Yeah.
Kyle wants to go in really bad. Swaggy knows that now that his girl is in the tribunal, that he's guaranteed probably going to get a couple votes to go in. But Josh, let's talk about it. Josh doesn't want to go in yet.
Pam's like, favorite person.
I still got plenty of time. Well, I don't get his logic.
Well, the best thing about Josh, so it starts with Josh being like, Bananas is just a dick, like straight up. He's like, oops, sorry. Like, you know, because Melissa's obviously truly upset. He's just a disrespectful dick. Josh tries to, he's like, oh, can we hug? I'm sorry. It's like, no, you totally screwed me over. You guys lied to me and betrayed me, you know, yeah. And it's jerky and I'm pissed. Take that seriously. So she, within her rights, is pissed at them. But then Josh, I guess I like what they're saying about that. Every week he says he wants to go in, but then he never really wants to go in.
Yeah.
He's scared to go
in.
I
love that.
So I don't know. Josh is just Josh is
well he
so,
wants to he wants clearly he wants to be in a tribunal
what?
And then he wants to choose to go. He doesn't want to do the housework because he's worried about whatever it might not be something that he's
but he never
at.
Goes in when he's in the tribunal, like,
yeah.
You never nominate
he psychs
yourself.
Himself out that's
yeah
what
he's
happens. He psychs
he's an
himself
interesting
out,
character this season, yeah,
and then he feels like he can't do it and then he's like, you know what, I'm not going to do it there. I have another chance. He keeps on saying that until there's not going to be another chance left.
Yeah.
Nobody has ever wanted to really go into an elimination in the challenge, sure. But, and especially in this season, you can try to manipulate it so that you feel like you have a better chance, you have an advantage if it's something you're good at. But then why are you on competitive games? You know, if you're always right. Going to run away from the elimination. So
yeah.
He comes in,
yeah.
Always talks a big game, always hypes himself up. He's a great politician. He's a great athlete. He's the best
right.
At this. But when it comes time to prove it, and sure, there's a time and place to be smart, but time is so, it's been ran out. It ran out like 5 episodes ago. So the fact that you are still almost like trying to make people feel guilty, and this is the issue I have with Kyle too, is like, it's not anybody else's fault. Kyle, don't blame Anissa
right.
That you're not going to elimination today. Like, sure, maybe she didn't perform great, but you had 6 guy elimination days to step up. You had all this time to win any other daily challenge. So it's a similar thing with Josh. It's like, you're telling Fessy, hey dude, I don't want to go in. I want you to put me while you're in the tribunal. And if it's something that I can nod to and say, yes, I got this, put me in. It's like the time it's wasting. So you
let's be real about Kyle. Kyle's had zero storyline this entire season because he hasn't done anything. He's just sitting around doing nothing. He's got no Kara and Polly to like argue with and make that whole, you know, three-way threesome thing going.
He's not hooking up with nothing.
Do you guys remember earlier in the season, Kyle was like, I think it was Kyle who said this. He was like, I think it's so stupid to go in early. You never know what's going to happen in this game. It's better to wait later. And now he waited later and look what's happening.
Exactly. So, I mean, this
isn't PS. That was your strategy. You know, obviously we've seen girls volunteer themselves and lose. We've seen that happen. So I get maybe why you chose not to go in right away. But if you waited till the last second, Like if you didn't study for a test and you get an F, it's not your teacher's fault. You waited till the last second, not to study. That was a really like really bad dad joke analogy. But it's like if you could
teacher Jenna,
take accountability about that. Like if you don't want to go in, sure, fine, that's your game. But like now, don't put the blame on everybody else and make it seem like it's everybody else's responsibility to now play the game for you when you didn't do right by yourself.
Yeah, I agree, Jen. I think that's what it comes down to is accountability and then wanting to play the blame game now that they realize the position that they're in. And this isn't PC, but I'm just going to say Josh needs to grow a pair, especially in the position he's in. He should have been campaigning hard to go into that damn elimination, you know, because I mean, time is ticking, dude. Like, what are you going to do, man?
I will say this is only...
Well, just with Josh, keeping in line with earlier conversation about character, like, Johnny's a jerk. Kyle's a little self-aware, like a kind of like, come on, won't you say, you know, the reason I think Josh is so awful is because I think he thinks he's the most sweet guy and that he's a victim all the time. And he's not. It's like
he is a sweet guy, though.
No, he's not. He's never sweet. He does what he thinks is right for himself.
He speaks his mind.
Which is always what? Whatever Johnny says? Like, what's his mind? Why did he
He is a floater, though. He is a floater.
Everybody says that. Right.
I'll say this. There's only two boys now without red skulls. And one is Josh and one is Kyle. So in theory, if they go in within the final men's elimination, which we assume there's probably one more. And plus, we did see Kyle in an elimination. So I know there's got to be. Or he's doing something with a purge. He's in something. I saw him down there. So if it's him versus Josh, they all technically had a chance to get a red skull. And this whole red skull thing, for the guys at least, didn't really matter. So there's that to think about.
That is true.
You did hear him say there's going to be a purge. Are they thinking that? Do you guys think there's going to be a purge?
Isn't there a purge every season? Yeah.
I feel like there's a purge every season, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Recently, there's been a lot of purges, and I hope there's one, but I don't know. Let's get into purgatory real quick. We have 10 minutes left, guys. Launch button. It didn't remind you of the Devin versus Bananas years ago?
Same planet.
But they upped the value.
It was better.
Almost, the rope swinging it. Right, Jenna? You're rope swinging it this time.
And almost last week's, it reminded me of two, of Bananas versus Corey. It's like sort of... luck of whoever gets the swing, the momentum, and does the stuff first. It's not a super skill based. I mean, you have to have some skills, but
The key to that is lean back and use your feet. Like no hands. Right. Lean back, use your feet, and just start going slowly and just let the like a swing
momentum.
Let it slowly go. But what'd you say, Jenna? I'm sorry, Jenna, what you were saying.
No, you're good. I think that it's one that looks easier than it is. When I first saw it, I was like, womp womp, this is a really kind of, I don't know if I like this elimination. But as soon as it got going, I was like, I love this. This is so intense. It was so neck and neck. And Swaggy had such a big lead. It was kind of his game to win. He had such a big advance on Corey, and then he lost it. So I think the memory game was a good aspect too, because I'm up there thinking about how quickly you're going back and forth. Those are quick, they're close enough together that you're going to forget them, even if you don't think that you will. So I was very impressed by Corey. I think he did a really good job. And I think it was a lot harder than it looks in terms of getting the gravity to work for your weight, figuring out how to use your arms and leg. And then on top of it all, remembering what you did hit and what you didn't hit already. Yeah.
I love that you can shut them back off. That made it cool. You saw their numbers go down and up. And I was like, okay. Even if you have a lead, it's
Corey
not safe.
Studying his photos of his daughter, like index cards before spelling.
Can someone get him a photo album?
I gotta go in the
He needs to preserve those are nice photos.
Wait, I'm glad you guys brought this up, because what pissed me off so much the very first chunk of the episode was Corey gets to FaceTime Ryder for the first time. When we saw Jenna and Zach FaceTime hundreds of times. And it's like, why can Jenna call her boyfriend after having fights?
To be fair, Zach's probably awake more hours of the day than Ryder, so maybe it's time.
I don't know. Storylines with producers.
Conspiracy. I'm sure they all get the same amount of time to call, yeah. But they focused on Jenna and Zach because, you know, that's like the most interesting call probably that they're getting.
And conspiracy here, that conversation could have been done the first week. We don't know.
Maybe,
he's saying it's my first time calling. They can insert at the end of the season like they did this. We don't know when he called her. It might have been the first week. And this is his storyline today. It was called Pictures of You, obviously in reference to Ryder. That was the episode name. So this was Corey's episode.
I love her. She is so
now
cute.
Now I get it, Dan. Thank you for that.
Any final thoughts on Purgatory? We've got 5 minutes, guys.
Well, I felt like Swaggy wasn't really into it.
At some point, he lost his mojo.
Like, he didn't care about it?
Yeah, didn't he kind of see in this entire episode, that was kind of his storyline this episode, was that it almost seemed like he emotionally and mentally wasn't there.
I think he psyched himself out, too, unfortunately. And fortunately, this is where I wonder, is there producer purgatory conspiracies, because how amazing that Corey hurts his ankle and the elimination is like floating. I mean,
I don't know how bad that ankle was, by the way. I don't think it was that. I think
they bruised that up as a storyline.
Yeah.
He said he couldn't feel his ankle.
Sprain his ankle.
That's like mean for you to go home if you can't feel your ankle.
When can I?
You should probably immediately go to the emergency room.
I wanted to bring this up too, guys. Under four storylines, they brought up Nani and Casey and how flirty they were at the bar and how all season they were so flirty. We saw the one quick little thing. But now it's like Casey the Cuddler. Was that like a storyline that they just needed to throw in because they had nothing else? Or was it like a big thing that we didn't get to see? I don't know.
I want to see
more, though.
Well, Ben's interview with Marlon. Just real quick, Marlon mentioned in sort of the interview that everyone should watch. You guys, if you haven't seen it, it was so great and insightful. Betty, good job. It really
Thank
was
you.
Great. He was great. You were great. It was wonderful. But he mentioned something about, you know, a lot of it being the way MTV dictates the story. And I think if nothing else, we saw in this episode how much power they have of telling the story. It's been about Dee. She's been the thing. They car on Polly. We haven't heard from Melissa like this, Kyle like this, Casey like this, Desi like this. Like, it'd be nice to develop more of the characters. I understand there's a love triangle and more going on with Dee. I get it. But tonight I was like, I'm glad.
I love seeing Melissa like that. Yeah.
And there's also a lot of people are, Kyle's I mean, there are people getting eliminated. People are getting eliminated. They have to focus on the Melissas and the Fessies. They're still in the game. We have to have storylines for them now.
But
you know?
It would have been, I'm sure this episode would have been dominated by the last week, blah, blah, blah. So it was kind of cool tonight. Unfortunately, there hasn't been a ton of setup for these people. We don't know what Melissa and Josh have gone through. You know, she's like, I can't take it anymore, as though there's been stuff. But I wish we had more
she's
set up
so
of
adorable.
These stories.
Yeah, Benny, what were your thoughts on Melissa versus Josh and her stuff tonight?
I remember being a fan of Melissa since her first season, because she seemed like that person who would bring the drama. She would bring good TV. So that's why I was really, that's why I was really bummed this season, because we haven't really seen that much of her. So I was so glad we got to see her this episode, because we finally got to see that like feistiness, like don't mess with me type of attitude that, you know, we were introduced when we first met Melissa. Like, I don't know if you guys remember, but her promo for her first season, and she was like just such like this badass girl, you know. And so that's what I like about it.
Yeah,
she's a firecracker, dude. And that's I agree with you. I like that same thing about her, and I like her.
Period, I got a little nervous when she jumped on the table. I'm like, please do not fall off this table. You have a baby inside of you.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Someone made a really funny.
But
meme
she didn't
too.
Know though.
It was like Melissa.
I know.
Someone made a meme that was like Melissa's baby this whole season, and it was like a roller coaster.
That's so true.
We've got exactly 2 minutes left. Any final thoughts on Purgatory? Anything you guys just want to talk about? We got 2 minutes. I'm up for anything.
I'm glad Corey won. I'm sad Swaggy won, but I think this season has been playing the best game he's ever played on the challenge. He's been level-headed, smart, making good moves at good times. I've been props to Corey this season.
I'm also very interested, because I'm also glad Corey won, because I'm interested in seeing how Bailey is going to in the house now that she doesn't have her other half there. So that's going to be
another screaming,
interesting storyline.
She was screaming at one of the other girls. Who was it? Anyone remember?
It was Casey, I think.
Yeah.
Yes. That's going to be so good. I can't wait to see that. Yeah.
So who's left to get a red skull for the girls? Nani, Melissa, and Bailey, right?
Yeah.
So just there's the only. Yeah, I think three. So.
So who do you guys have?
Melissa.
Melissa, yeah.
Melissa's a beast.
The way they're showing Bailey, like I want to say Bailey redeems it because the swagster couldn't do it. You know, I'm gonna say I'll say Bay.
So swag.
I want to say Bay.
She's great too. I mean,
I want Nani to win because like she's such an OG. But I see Melissa taking it.
Bailey, I think, is the toughest competitor of those three. So if it's just based on that,
I'll give you that for sure.
For sure. Agreed, I'd like to see Nani win too, but I'm not really putting my money on it. And Melissa's a wild card. I don't know.
Okay, so Josh versus Kyle then. Quick.
Kyle.
Josh.
Really? I'm going to go with Josh. Josh?
Yeah, baby.
Dan goes, baby.
I want it because then we have two sides of it. Hey, guys. Thank you guys so much for joining us here at AfterBuzz TV. We'll see you next week. My name is Daniel Lingren. Hit me up at TikTok, Idiot Fox Boys. Let's go over to Pam.
Hey, hi. Check out Benny's interview with Marlon. That was super good.
Sure.
And you can find me at Pamela Gross Jill all across social media. Thanks, guys.
David?
And you can find me on Instagram at David_Christopher_official. TikTok, same thing. Thank you guys so much, as always, for hanging out with us. Love you guys. Thank you.
Jenna.
Guys, keep DMing me your secrets, and if you have to DM my other host, I guess that's okay too, but I will read them and reply. Jenna_Bessier on Twitter.
Benny, take us out of this thing.
You guys can find me on all social media at Benny J. Adams, and remember, make sure to catch me in Nehemiah tomorrow, 12 p.m. Pacific, YouTube, Spotify, iTunes. We're going to talk. We have a lot of interesting things to discuss, and it's going to be good.
And also Challenge News Now, Benny, on Instagram, right, bud?
What's up?
Challenge News Now on Instagram. You're posting every
challenge
day.
Challenge News Now, yeah. If you guys want to get all the latest updates on the challenge, follow our exclusive Instagram page at Challenge News Now.
Peace, guys. See you next week.
Later, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.